the only message that saves, is perverted throughout this land. Babies are cut to pieces by the millions, and they have been since 1973 with the Roe v. Wade decision. Babies are aborted over a million per year in this country. You see, this nation is obsessed with wickedness. It is obsessed with evil. It is obsessed with alcohol and drugs. Moral abominations are accepted as alternative lifestyles. Pride, gay pride, we shake our fists at the hands of an angry God. Thugs and rapists and murderers and sexual predators are released back into the communities to do the same very things. And the Bible says this. The Bible says that life is for God's will, but most Americans think that life is a party. The government will confiscate your wealth and it will give it to hardworking confiscate the wealth of hardworking Americans and redistribute it to the bums of this world that do not want to work. The Bible says there's none that doeth good, but most Americans think of themselves as good. God is allowed as Savior, but He's not allowed as a judge. Now, many of those comments I got off of David Cloud's website, him talking about America. But listen, the only thing that should surprise us is that America is not in more of a mess than we are at the very moment. That is God's mercy. But I'm telling you, the day of the Lord is still upon us. The day of the Lord is still approaching the United States of America. Psalm 9, verse 17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Proverbs 14:34, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Isaiah 3:11 says, "Woe unto the wicked." We live in a day where the wicked gets praised and glorified and lifted up. Bible says, "Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him." So many of us asking ourselves, what next? Right? The presidential election is here. We appear to have a new president. We appear to have been given a space of grace, but what next? Fret not. Fret not. Let's look at that here. I'm going to give you some thoughts here tonight. I'm going to give you a few things that I want you to see, that we have a new president. I want you to see that, and that why we're not to fear, why we're not to fret. Okay, number one, I want you to see here that God is still sovereign. God is still in control. In Psalm 103:19, the Bible says, "The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all." God is sovereign. God is in control. That's Psalm 103:19. Jesus is Lord of all, and He rules and reigns over all of His creation. That word sovereign means just that. It means that He is in control. It means that He is ruler. None of this has taken God by surprise. He is sovereign. If you would, flip a couple pages to Psalm 46. In Psalm 46, look there starting in verse number 1. In Psalm chapter 46, verse number 1. Hey, look, God is still sovereign. God is still in control. God, there in Psalm 46, verse 1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear," not to fear, "though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Selah, God is in control. God is sovereign. It doesn't matter who wins the election, who is the appointed president of the United States. God is our very present help. He is with us at all times. In Psalm 46, it's basically a promise of God's presence. No matter what's going on around us in this world, God is in control. He is sovereign. And He's present with us today. We have His presence here today. Nothing has taken God by surprise, and nothing will take God by surprise. He is sovereign over all of His creation. He created the heaven and the earth. He created you and me. He is sovereign over all of that. You know what we need to do? We just need to not fear, and we need to trust the Lord. We need to trust Him. We don't need to doubt. We don't need to fear the things around us. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, Deuteronomy 31, 6, the Bible says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not." You getting the sign here? You getting this lingo? He says, "Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Nor is He never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He's always there for us. We are not to fear these things that go on around us in these worlds. Doesn't matter who the president is. Back there in Psalm 46:1, the Bible says, He said He is a very present help in trouble. He's very present, meaning this is a glorious promise, meaning that He's there with us. Whatever I'm going through, whatever struggles I'm in, whatever life is throwing at me, He is a very present help. He's not going to leave me nor forsake me. We have nothing to fear. Christians, we have nothing to fear. But unfortunately, there are many Christians out there who are fearing right now. Who are fearing for many different reasons. Maybe they are fearing for what the future holds for them. But hey, look, we just went through a presidential election. But may I continue to remind you that doesn't mean anything. God is sovereign. God is in control. And the command is not to fear. He says in Proverbs 21 verse 1 that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And as the rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will. God's in control of all that. I understand it could be a little discerning, right? But God is in control. Listen, the greatest need that we have in this country is to repent. To turn from our sin, to repent of our sin, to repent of our unbelief in God, or repent and turn to God. In Acts 20:21, repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If there was ever a need to preach the gospel, today is it. There are more people in this world today dying and going to hell. We need to preach the gospel more today. There's over 8 billion people in this world, and they all need the gospel. More lost people now than there's ever been before. Look, the most important decision you will ever make in your life is to realize you're a sinner, condemned to hell, and take Jesus Christ as your Savior, and just take Him at His word, believe Him, be born again, trust Him, He'll take you to heaven when you die. Nothing to fear. That's the most important decision you can make in this life. It affects all of eternity. You say, "Oh, I'm young, I got my whole life ahead of me." Hey, we don't know what's going to happen when we leave this place. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. This heartbeat is, one heartbeat, it stops. We quit breathing. We go off into eternity. Hey, getting saved is the most important decision you can make. And when I do get saved, it gives me power. It gives me victory over sin. It gives me victory over that fear. You see, the born-again believer has nothing to fear. Nothing to fear if you think about it. We have nothing to fear. We have heaven awaiting. We have the Lord Jesus Christ awaiting. Right, our life is cut short here. Our heart stops beating. We close our eyes here. We open them in the heaven. The first person we see is the Lord Jesus Christ, and then He shows us the mansion that He's already built for us in heaven. Right, we have nothing to fear. Right, but when something negative happens, when that devil starts throwing those fiery darts at us, right, that non-spirit-filled Christian. That worldly Christian, it's opened up to the attacks. It's opened up to that fear. But fear is a big deal. God says we're not to fear. He says fear is mentioned over 395 times, 395 verses in the Bible. Obviously, it's a big deal to God. Right? He wants us to be aware of fear. And in 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And of a sound mind." You know, when you become fearful, it plays with your mind. It messes up your mind. You begin to not be able to think straight, not think clearly. That fear overwhelms you, and it starts to control your thoughts and your actions. But that's not from God, friend. Fear is not from God. That's from the devil. The devil wants you to fear. God said, don't fear, right? In 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may what? Devour. He wants to devour the Christian. So the command is there, be sober, be sober. Pay attention. What is going on? Be vigilant. What is going on in life around you? You know, lions, they seek the weak prey. I remember, you know, when my kids were younger, we would watch a lot of the animal shows. You know, especially right after I got saved, we'd watch the Animal Planet, I guess is what it was. But we'd always watch the African animals, and they had the lions, and they'd show how they would attack a group of gazelles. And, you know, the lions wouldn't just run in and attack. They would walk around the pack or whatever, and they'd try to find the weakest link. Right? They'd try to find the weakest gazelle. And like the verse says there, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Right? That lion is seeking that weak link. The lion is seeking that one that may be injured or maimed, or one that, you know, is a little bit weaker than the rest, and that's who they pounce. That's who they go after. The same with the devil. Devil's going to do the same thing. If you are a spirit-filled Christian walking filled with the Spirit, it's going to be harder to get you, right? But if there's a worldly Christian, someone who's not filled with the Spirit, right, the devil can attack that person a whole lot easier. And that verse, it just tells you, the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, right? Satan wants to put that fear in our lives so he can devour you. So he can devour you. Well, preacher, you say, how do I resist the devil? How can I defeat the devil? It just seems like the devil has his will and his way with me. He has a stronghold on me. I just can't seem to do it. If you would, turn over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Hey, God is still sovereign. God is still in control. He tells us we're not to be fretting, we're not to be worrying, we're not to be fearful. Right? James chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8. How do I resist the devil? How do I defeat him? Right, here you go. James 4, 7. First thing you got to do is submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's the very first thing you got to do. Submit yourselves to God. That means some things, right? That means you got to get over here with God, right? You got to get cuddle up with Him, right? That means you got to get off of the Facebook. That means you got to get off of the Twitter. That means you got to get off of the internet, the telephone, whatever it is you're doing, and you got to submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And then He says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Right? So you submit yourselves to God, and then you got to fight. You got to fight. You got to resist the devil. Hey, he has a stronghold on you. Don't just curl up in a ball and die and let him have his will and way with you. The other day, my dog had gotten into a possum. All right, he got a possum. All right, you know what them opossums do? They don't do anything. They just play dead. Right, and that's what most Christians do. Right, when the devil is attacking you, just I give up. This Christian life is just so hard. It's so hard, right? Because you're not submitting yourself to God. You're not resisting. You're not resisting the devil, right? You got to fight, right? Paul says, "I fought a good fight," right? Christians can't just succumb to the world and to the devil, right? When something negative happens, Satan wants to use those weak things in our life, those strongholds in our life, so that way he can just pounce on you, okay? So when this happens, here's what we need to do. He says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Right? Get close to God. Get in the Bible. Study the Bible. Read the Bible. Pray. Confessing our sins. Getting close to Him. And he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Right? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Draw nigh to God. Submit yourself to Him. And here's another thing. We're coming into Thanksgiving. Why not start praising the Lord? Why not start being thankful for what we do have? Oh, this life is just so rough and it's just so hard. I can't believe I got this and I got to do that and I got this illness and this happened to me. Can you believe all these things that just happened to me? I can't believe it. Why not just start praising the Lord, being thankful to the Lord for what you do have, and see how that changes not only your mindset, but also see how it changes your walk with the Lord. And let me tell you this, being thankful isn't just for Thanksgiving time. Being thankful is a command. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything, give thanks. In what? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is God's will for your life. It's to give thanks in everything. Hey, all I'm saying is this. God is still in control. God is still sovereign. Hey, we have a new president, but God is sovereign and He's in control. Let me give you a second thing here. Since we got a new president, not only is God sovereign, but the King James Bible still has all the answers to our life's questions. The King James Bible still has all the answers we need in this life. In Psalm 119:128, the Bible says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Hey, do you hate every false way? Do you love what God loves, and do you hate what God hates? Hey, we need to start looking at things through God's eyes. Not through the world's eyes or the world's lens or even our own perspective and seeing things. We need to look at things through God's eyes. And the only way to do that is with His Word. With His Word. You see, right here we have a translation of the very words of God in this King James Bible right here that we hold in our hands. Right? The King James Bible is still the Bible for the English-speaking people today. Nothing has changed. God hasn't changed. Jesus hasn't changed. God's Word does not change. It will not change. God has preserved His Word for us today. In Psalm 12:6 and 7, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation and forever. God has preserved His Word. Right? You think about it. If we didn't have a preserved copy of His Word, if we didn't have His Word, how would we know about it? How would we know how to get to heaven? We wouldn't. We'd be running around here like chicken with their head cut off. Right? He gave us His Word so that we can know how to get to heaven, and He has preserved it. You see that? This Bible are the pure words of the Lord. It's right. It's true. It's holy. It's righteous. Hey, it has all the answers to life in it. And I base my life on it. Do you? Do you? There are no contradictions in this Bible. There is no unrighteousness in this Bible. In Psalm 119:138, the Bible says, thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Right? His Word is righteous. It is faithful. It is dependable. You can depend upon it with your life. You can read it. You can trust it. You can obey it. Hey, just get in it and study it. I mean, think about it. The book of Genesis was written probably well over 3,500 years ago. Okay, but the Bible, Genesis and all of the Bible, is still as true as it ever was. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's true. In the beginning, God created everything. In 6 days, He created everything. And the seventh day, He rested. He created male and female. That is true. Listen, there's only two genders. Male and female, that has not changed. I know, the internet says there's over 100, but there's only two. God made male and He made female. That has not changed. God's Word has not changed. Every bit and every word of God is true. Psalm 119:160 says, thy Word is true from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Here's one, Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hey, in these times of uncertainty, what are you doing? Are you looking around? or you're looking up. We need to look up, okay? We need to look up. We need to get off of all the things in the world, pick up the King James Bible and read it and study it and let it be a light unto our path, a light to light this darkness in this world, a light that will light this world up on fire. Hey, we just need to learn how to trust the Lord with everything. Right? Not look around and put our faith in men and put our faith in our own flesh and put our faith in everything else. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Hey, His Word is a light that will light your path. Hey, you want to know how to be in God's Word? You got to, in God's will, you got to be in God's Word. He's going to light your path. You say, He's not going to light your whole life. It's going to be one step at a time. One step at a time. I couldn't imagine it if I just, for instance, my military time, 20 years in the military, if God would have just showed me the whole path of my 20 years in the military. I said, no, I don't want to do that. I'll go do something else. Right? You know, if God would have lit in the whole path for me to be a pastor here. Right? No, I'll do something else. Right? No, it's one step at a time. He builds your faith. He trains you. He draws you closer to Him. He prepares you one step out of the way. But it's with His Word and with the light of His Word. It's one step along that path. Right? That's all we need. You got to be faithful. We got to be faithful to take that step. Each step along the way. Allowing His light to light that path. Hey, the Bible reveals how we are to live. It does. It's true. But do you follow it? Do you follow it? In Titus 2:11. Hey, can you turn there? Titus 2:11. After 2 Timothy. Titus 2:11. Titus 2:11, familiar portion of Scripture here. Titus 2:11 tells us here, says in Titus 2:11, Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And in verse 12 it tells us, teaching us, all right? So this grace of God that brought salvation is going to teach us something. Let's see what it teaches us. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, this grace of God, the Bible says, has appeared to all men. And it teaches us about ungodliness. We're to live, we're to deny ungodliness. That word ungodliness is anything that is not like God. Anything that is not holy. Anything that is not righteous. Anything that is not pure. Anything that does not honor God. Anything that does not obey God. And that grace teaches us that we're to deny those things. We're to deny those things. Hey, the Word of God is true, every single bit of it. We want that God to light our path, but are we in the Word? Are we studying it? Are we turning away from unrighteousness? Or are we walking up and holding hands with unrighteousness? There's got to be a separation. He will light our path if you follow Him. If you follow Him. In Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says, if you turn over there, Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, look there in verse 13 and 14. In Matthew chapter 7, are you following the Lord? Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Matthew 7, 13 and 14, the Bible says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now that wide gate, that's the world. That's the world flocking to destruction. The narrow gate is that kingdom of God. Few find it. But how do I know the difference? Preacher, how do I know the difference? You got to get in His Word. You see, the King James Bible still has all the answers to man's problem. Has all the answers to man's question. Every question man has ever had is in this book. Do you follow it? Do you follow the broad way? Or are you on the narrow path? In Matthew 24, verse 35, the Bible says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away." Hey, all I'm saying is we have a new president, but God is still sovereign. The King James Bible still has all the answers. And number three here, I want you to see that our prayers will still be heard and our prayers will still be answered. Our prayers will still be heard and answered. In Jeremiah 33:3, the Bible says, "Call unto Me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Do you pray? How is your prayer life? How is your prayer life? In Matthew 7:7, the Bible says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." The privilege of prayer, right? The power of prayer. It's there. Do we ask? Do we seek? Do we knock? Hey, there's times of uncertainties right now for every person. Every single one of us here, every single person over the internet, every single person in Macon, every single person in this country, in this world, is going through trials and tribulations. Every single person deals with these things in life, and that's called life. That's called the effects of sin. That is called, hey, that's the way it is. We all are dealing with circumstances in life. But here's the thing. If you're saved, you've been born again, do you walk with the Lord? Do you pray? Do you seek His face? Do you seek the power of God in your life? You see, all prayer is communing with God. It's talking with God. It's having a relationship with the Lord, right? Fellowshipping with the Lord. It's not enough just to know about God up here. It's not enough just to know about God. You got to know Him. You know, and we need to have times where we get alone with Him and we just fellowship with Him. Oh, Monday night was great. That was so exciting for me. The prayer time that we had here at the church, and everybody came and we prayed, and our hearts were in one accord, and we were praying and praying and praying. It was just one sweet time. That was just a blessing for it. But man, prayer is powerful. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Right? A prayer solves problems. We get a hold of God and we just pray. And here's the thing. Prayer is commanded. It's another one of those things commanded. It's not just another one of those things on a suggestion list. Right? No, it's commanded. God says we're to pray without ceasing. That means pray all the time. Pray without ceasing. We are commanded to always be praying. In 1 Timothy 2:8, He says, "I will, therefore, that men pray," where? Everywhere. Everywhere. "Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Hey, we're to pray everywhere. Do we ask? The Bible says, "You have not because you ask not." Right? Come humbly before the throne of grace. Right? He will give us grace in this time of need. And that's a glorious promise there in Hebrews 4:16. He says, "Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in a time of need." Hey, He is there for us. He will be there for us. But are we doing our part? Are we seeking Him? That's a glorious promise that we have, that no matter what we're going through in this life, no matter what trials, no matter what tribulations, no matter what it is in life, no matter what ailment, no matter what temptation, no matter if you're getting the fiery darts of the devil thrown at you, we have the promise that if we submit ourselves to God, we resist the devil, we seek Him in prayer, we ask, we come humbly before the throne of grace, that He will hear our prayers, He will answer our prayers. And listen, we have a new president, but some things just don't change. God is still sovereign. The King James Bible is still the Bible. for the English-speaking people that holds all the answers to the problems or the questions in our life. God still hears our prayer. God still will answer our prayer, new president or not. God will answer our prayers. His grace. We just talked about His grace. God will pour out that grace to us. He will strengthen us along that path. As He's lightened our path, He will strengthen us as we walk through Him, through the trials, through the troubles. Come humbly before the throne of grace is the call. In Psalm 50, verse 15, the Bible says, "And call unto me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." 1 John 5:14, the Bible says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." Let me give you one more quick one here. Hey, you know what? We have a new president, but there are still multitudes and multitudes and multitudes that need to be saved. There are multitudes of people that need to be saved. The command in Mark 16:15. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and He rose again the third day. There's over 8 billion people in our world today, and they all need the gospel of Jesus Christ. All those souls Jesus died for, He died for each one of them, every single one of them, but He gave them a free will also. They have to choose Jesus. Jesus says in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He is the only way. You see, people will continue to go to hell each and every day that they do not take Jesus Christ as their Savior. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Acts 4:12. John 5:39, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Jesus is it. There is no other way. Hey, we have a new president, but he's not the Savior. He's not going to lead anybody to heaven or take anybody to heaven. You got to come to heaven. If you're going to heaven, you got to come through Jesus Christ. There are multitudes and multitudes of people in this world that continue to need to be saved, and they have to have the Son. Hey, Jesus said, "Go. Will you go?" If you're not willing to go and tell, who will? Who will go? Now, it's true. It appears as though we do have a new president, right? It appears as though we do. But this isn't a time to fear. Not because we have a new president, but it's not. Also, it's not time to rejoice in a man either. No man or no woman is sovereign like God. We need to draw close to God. We need to walk with the Lord, close to the Lord. We need to seek the Lord in this time. We need to seek Him in our life, and we still have the command that we're to live a holy life. Hey, look, God is still on the throne. God is sovereign. The King James Bible has all the answers. Our prayers will still be heard. Our prayers will still be answered. And let me tell you, there are multitudes and multitudes of people that need to be saved today. So yes, I believe that God gave us a space of grace, a little bit of mercy, but again, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? Let's pray.